even if it's not in our lifetime, for our children, for our grandchildren, you know, end this hatred, end this unrest, and be able to provide a safe place, a safe future for our next generations.
We have to be open to the notion that others are going to carry a different viewpoint, a different set of experiences that shape and form their conviction. And we have to be able to walk into the same room and hold a sense of composure and a sense of respect for that difference in perspective. And if we can't do that as a unified people, we will self-destruct.
I want to thank Sam Reeves, who is a sophomore at North Park University in Illinois, and John Bush, who is a freshman at Carthage College, for joining the show today, Generation Now, to talk about their thoughts on America, the issues, and of course, the upcoming presidential election. Until next time, bye everybody.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jeff Rasmussen, a retired Racine Unified teacher and administrator who currently serves as president of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association, Steve Brown, a retired professor of education leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
This program originally aired October 10th, 2020.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Today, we'll be hearing from guests from UW-Madison Extension, telling us about their work in Racine County with early learning and parenting education. They are doing so much to help build strong and healthy families in our listening area, so enjoy hearing some positive news from them about things that are happening in our community. Sarah Hawks has served as a family and community educator at Extension Racine County since 2011. In her role, she provides parenting education, coordinates workshops for early care and education providers, conducts Latino outreach programs focused on parent involvement and student academic success, and partners with our local community organizations to bring university resources to the local community. So welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Karen. Thank you for having us.
Pam Wettig-Kirsch is a school readiness and family resiliency educator at UW-Madison Division of Extension, Racine County. She has 20 years of experience supporting families. Pam partners with elementary schools, correctional facilities, and community agencies to provide parenting programs to parents and caregivers of young children. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you, Karen. I'm glad to be here.
So I just want to remind our listeners that we're recording this program from our homes over Zoom, so please forgive internet lapses, intrusions from pets, buzzing phones, sirens, whatever else you might hear outside of our homes. We're not in the soundproof studio this week again. So tell me about the program that you run in Racine County. What is the overall focus and what are the specific programs? We'll just kind of make a list of what you do and then kind of address each one individually.
Sure. So this is Sarah. And Karen, as you said in your introduction, you know, Extension is a division of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and our purpose is really to bring those university resources to the local communities. So you will find an Extension office in every county in the state. And here in Racine County, we are actually a partnership between Racine County and UW-Madison. So Pam and I are actually a part of the Human Development and Relationships Institute, which is a part of Extension. And this really means that we work with families. So we offer education mainly in the areas of parenting education and parenting resources. So we have a variety of programs for parents of children ages birth to 17 years old. And I'm going to turn it over to Pam for a minute, and she's going to talk a little bit more what we do for some of our youngest children.
Thank you, Sarah. So my focus is on supporting parents in helping their children develop the social emotional skills that the children need so they can enter kindergarten ready to learn. I provide parenting education for families on fostering social emotional skills in children, such as problem solving and managing emotions. This includes the Positive Solutions for Families workshop, which is a 6-week program that focuses on social emotional learning. And also I provide programs for parents who are involved in the justice system. These programs focus on maintaining the parent-child relationship during incarceration and increasing literacy opportunities for children who have a parent incarcerated.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of things to do. I'm just curious, this might be a weird time to ask this, but do you have a physical location? Are you in the Racine County building, or do you work from your homes, or how does this work?
Sure. We are actually located in Burlington, and we're within the Western Racine County Service Center building. So we're co-located with other county services. However, that's basically just our physical location. We do most, if not all, of our work in the community throughout Racine County. So that could be Burlington, that could be Racine, it could be Waterford, wherever there are families, that's where we try to go, right? We try to bring our programs to the people, and we do this through various community partner sites. I will say it's been challenging right now during the COVID-19 pandemic. We've been offering programs virtually right now via Zoom. So we started that last spring, and we did some of our childcare programs online. And over the summer, we started extending that to our parenting programs too. So we have quite a full schedule this fall of parenting education that we will be providing online. And we just still want families to know that we are working hard to reach out to them and to meet their needs during this time as well.
Wow, that sounds extra challenging. So are there any issues with your target audience for, having the devices or the connectivity they need in order to do these things over Zoom?
We are still learning that. We had done some work with the childcare providers, and most of them were able to connect using their phones for the most part. It seemed that people were accessing Zoom via phones. We are still learning what families need. We're hopeful that they have more access to technology, especially as some families have kids in school, and now they are using the Chromebooks and they have digital hotspots that they have access to for the virtual learning that their students have to do. So hopefully that's improving the connectivity of the parents as well.
Oh, great. Yeah, I guess those of us who are lucky enough to have our own computers and internet connections don't think, oh yeah, I could use Zoom on my phone, but I guess we all could, couldn't we? So who else helps you run these programs? So, you listed a lot of things. Is it the two of you, or do you have assistants, or do you have, community partners, or how does this work?
Yep, that's exactly it. We have a lot of community partners, and they are so important to the work that we do. They really help us to better understand what the needs of families are. They let us know what topics families are interested in learning about. They help us to recruit families. They provide space for us. And overall, they just provide that connection to families.
So we do partner with many different organizations in the community. So I'm just going to list a few of those to give you an idea. We partner with Racine Unified School District, Burlington Area School District, the Peacock Program that is within RUSD, child care centers, Head Start, libraries, both the YMCA and the YWCA. We partner with community churches, and then we also have partnered with correctional facilities such as the Racine County Jail, Racine Youthful Offenders Correctional Facility, Racine Correctional Institute. So as you hear from this list, there are many organizations involved in helping us to reach families for these programs.
So one of the programs that intrigues me is your Positive Solutions Parenting Workshop I read about in the material you shared. So I wondered if you can walk me through the process. You know, how do parents learn about this workshop? When is it? Where is it? How is it done now that we have COVID restrictions? And what do they learn while they're there? And are there any follow-ups to that?
So we started this program 3 years ago, thanks to a grant from United Way of Racine County. We partnered with Racine Unified School District, 4K and 5K teachers. We're using a program called Pyramid Model to address social-emotional needs of students in the classroom. So the Positive Solutions for Families program is the complementary program for parents. So by providing this program for parents, parents and teachers have a consistent language that they can use when teaching children about emotions and how to address the behaviors of children. So that's very helpful for children to hear that same language at school and at home. We partnered with RUSD to provide the program at hosting elementary schools. And then we also partnered with Burlington Area School District to offer the program in the county. The teachers across the district and community agencies invite parents to attend the workshops. The program runs 6 weeks. So we meet, when it was in person, it was 2 hours once a week. So this is a big commitment for the parents and caregivers, but they do find great value to it. To decrease barriers, we do provide a meal and childcare during the program. Topics that we include are relationship building, routines and expectations, teaching your children friendship skills, how to manage strong feelings and problem solve, and strategies to address challenging behaviors. The activities offered for children during the program complement what the parents are learning. So for instance, when parents are talking about helping your children manage strong feelings, children might be read a book such as The Way I Feel, and they make a turtle that has feeling for faces on the shell. So the response to this program has been very positive. We do not have a follow-up after those 6 weeks, but families are also always welcome to contact me if they have questions later about a strategy that they're trying to implement. So that was pre-COVID-19. Since COVID-19, we have adapted the program for virtual learning. We offered a pilot this summer. We did shorten the content a bit, so it's an hour, because 2 hours on a Zoom is just too long. So we meet hourly for 6 weeks. With that program, we do build in an opportunity for each parent to meet with me individually. We have 3 online programs scheduled for this school year. So if people are interested, they can find out more information on the Racine County Extension website. So that would be racine.extension.wisc.edu.
Wow. So I would imagine that when I asked the question about follow-up, so if it's 6 weeks of workshops and the teachers are learning the same language, that probably the most common follow-up is just talking to the teachers about how things are going, right?
Yes, I encourage them to use their teacher as a resource, because the teacher has these same strategies that they're using in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, so maybe some listeners aren't familiar with the importance of social emotional learning. So what do we know about, you know, having this preparation in childhood, how much does that affect students, you know, once they get into the school age or in the teen years, when sometimes children have difficult relationships with their families, but not always. And then, later on as an adult, what is sort of the overall long-term goal of this social emotional learning?
So social emotional learning has been shown to be the most important indicator of a child's success, not only in school, but throughout their life. A child who has these social emotional skills can figure out how to create a win-win situation. They can regulate their emotions so they can calm down and they can address a situation assertively. They're able to develop strong relationships with other people in their lives. So there are many benefits that help them do well in school, because school is about the academics, but they need to have this self-regulation so that they can focus on the academics. We also know that people with these strong social emotional skills have greater life satisfaction as adults. So there are huge long-term effects in addressing the social emotional skills of children.
Great. So that sounds like an excellent investment of our university system in our communities. I'm just going to stop and reintroduce. You are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of UW-Madison Extension's work in Racine County education programs is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So I was a middle school teacher before I became an education professor. And so I'm very interested in the Juntos program. Tell us more about that and how it has served Racine County families.
Sure. So Juntos is a program for our Spanish-speaking immigrant families, and it's really focused on ensuring student academic success and that exploration and continuation to higher education. So this program is mainly for middle school aged youth, and high school age youth can participate as well, actually. We've run more of the middle school Juntos in Racine County. But really the program's for youth and their parents to participate together and learn about the importance of education and how education is really a family goal. You know, it's not just the student goal. Students play a really important part, of course, you know, in the success, in academic success, but really, you know, families and parents are there along the way to support their student. So also with Juntos, we really want families to know that they're not alone in their pursuit of their academic goals. And so like Juntos means together in Spanish. And so when we talk about the togetherness, it means that it's families, the schools, and the community are there to offer resources and support along the way to families. So in terms of what we've offered in Racine County, we started this program back in 2016, and we have offered Juntos in Burlington and in the city of Racine. And typically we do this through our partners. So we've partnered with the local school districts, some churches, after school centers, such as like John the 23rd Education Center in Racine, to offer this program. Oh, and I should say we've also worked with Acts Ministry too at St. Patrick's Church. They've helped us in recruit families. So just to tell you a little bit more about the program, it's a 5-week program, and we cover a different topic each week. So just to give you a little idea of what we talk about, we talk about making education a family goal. We talk about the importance of family communication, and we also talk about the importance of school communication. For middle school students, we talk about the importance of having that successful transition to high school. And we want to make sure that they understand like what is going to be expected from them in high school, you know, from the first day when they enter their freshman year. So they understand what the credit system is, what a GPA is, all of that. Because we know a lot of our parents have not gone through the U.S. educational system themselves. And then later on in the program, we talk about higher education options. We start looking at what are those options from technical school to two-year to four-year universities. And then we also talk about how to pay for college, right? That's a huge topic. So families have really reported really positive outcomes with this program. As a result of taking the program, parents say that they know now how to help their youth transition into high school. They know who to contact at their youth school, and they're starting to have more conversations about the future and about their students' future interests too. And then I just wanted to say one more thing about this is that, you know, Racine County was actually the first county in the state to offer the Juntos program. And in the past year or so, there's been interest from other extension educators in the state of Wisconsin to start offering this program too. So we now have a state team at Extension, and you know, we're really trying to get that Juntos program out there throughout the state. And so one of our first statewide projects is to offer a virtual Juntos program this fall. And so just to let families know that we are going to be starting this program on October 20th. It's going to be held online via Zoom from 6 to 7 at night. It's going to run for 6 weeks. And we're going to have it in English and Spanish because, you know, using Zoom, we've got that capability to offer the simultaneous interpretation in English and Spanish. So we're really excited about this program. And families can find more information about this program on our Facebook page, which is Juntos Wisconsin.
So this sounds like one of the COVID silver linings to me that you can offer simultaneous translation. So I'm always looking for something like that. I mean, I find a few of those things when I'm talking to other programs about teaching in my own teaching, and that sounds like a good one. So this program sounds a little bit like there used to be a big federal program in the 1990s called Gear Up. I don't know if some of it is based on Gear Up, in that case, Gear Up was about middle school students. Not any particular group, just first generation. That might be considering going to college or even to finish high school, not necessarily immigrant families, but just those who had not ever connected with higher ed before. Was Gear Up at all influential in creating this program, or are you not sure?
So Juntos is actually was developed in North Carolina in 2007. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the Gear Up program is a partner of Juntos in North Carolina. And I think they have similar goals in terms of starting earlier, like not starting that conversation about higher education in high school, but like backing it up and talking about it in middle school. So I think it's similar. And I think, like I said, Gear Up is still probably a partner of Juntos in North Carolina. In Wisconsin, we haven't partnered with Gear Up yet. You know, we are just in the developing stages of taking this statewide. So we are looking for those partners to work with. And we are reaching out to different universities as well. Hoping to really expand this program. And I think when you talk about that COVID silver lining, it's also an opportunity that Extension colleagues can come through throughout the state and offer these programs together. Mm-hmm. So rather than just having to be in person in Racine County, now families from throughout the state of Wisconsin can participate in Juntos.
Right. I'm struck by the fact that you begin the 5 weeks talking about family goals and family communication, because it does feel like that, you know, having been a middle school teacher, I know some students just, you know, glide through that period, but for a lot of kids, middle school is a challenge. Social emotional challenge as well as an academic challenge. And what's interesting about Juntos, I would think, is that the population of parents, so one of the hallmarks of emerging adolescence is to be in opposition to whatever their parents are doing. And in this case, because if the parents don't have familiarity with American high school or college, it's not a fair I wouldn't call it a fight, but I guess it's not a fair clash, because the parents really are at a deficit. They don't know the system. And then middle schoolers being who they are, they don't really know the system either. They just know whatever rumors they've heard or whatever maybe a teacher has told them informally. So it's probably really important to codify this for families. Have you any examples of that, or have you heard from parents about how this has helped them?
Yeah, I would say that this is especially true what you're talking about for some of our Spanish-speaking immigrant families who, you know, they really depend on their student to understand that system, and, you know, a lot of things are filtered through the student to the parent. So I think just parents really enjoy this program. They get a lot of information. I think they really appreciate the information. They ask questions. And I think they see the value because they know what they want for their student in the future. Sometimes middle school youth feel like college is pretty far off. They're not there yet thinking about it, but the parents are already thinking about it. So I think that just having these tools is just really beneficial, especially to the parents.
Right. Thank you. So another program that you run is called Literacy Links. It's one of the really interesting programs run in conjunction with the Racine County Sheriff's Office. So can you tell us more about this program and why it's important to provide literacy opportunities to children of incarcerated parents?
Yes, our partnership with the Sheriff's Office began several years ago when researchers from UW-Madison conducted a study at Racine County Jail and two other jails in Wisconsin. The study was looking at how children are impacted by parental incarceration. One finding from this study was that children who have a parent involved in the justice system are more likely to lag behind their peers in listening, speaking, and reading skills. So because of these findings, the Racine County Jail partnered with us at Extension to begin offering programs to parents at the jail to address this gap. Thanks to United Way of Racine County, we received funding for this program. So working with the Literacy Link, an Extension statewide team, we have implemented strategies that encourage early literacy experiences for children and also foster that parent-child relationship during this time when the parent is separated from the child. So at the Racine County Jail, we've implemented three different literacy link strategies. One of those strategies is to provide literacy-rich experiences for children. So we've added some literacy components to the visiting space at the jail, as well as at Racine Youthful Offenders Correctional Facility. So when a child visits their loved one, they can play I Spy or have fun conversations sparked by bright pictures and engaging conversation starters. At the Racine Youthful Offenders Correctional Facilities, where families are able to visit face-to-face and have longer visits, we've been able to add children's books and educational toys for them to have parent-child interactions during the visit. Another strategy that we've implemented is parenting education. So parents at the jail, as well as at Racine County Youthful Offenders Correctional Facility and Racine Correctional Institute, have the opportunity to attend workshops on a variety of parenting topics. We focus on helping children manage strong feelings and teaching parents how children develop these early literacy skills. The third strategy that you were referencing is the Making Reading Memories program. This is a recorded reading program that we offer at the Racine County Jail. So after parents take a workshop on early literacy skills, they're able to select books for their children and be video recorded reading the books. And then with permission from the caregiver, which may be the co-parent, or it may be a grandparent or a relative or foster care. The book and video are shared with the caregiver, who shares them with the child. Imagine how impactful that is for a child to be able to watch their mom or dad read them a bedtime story every night. This is so important for that child's need to connect with their parent, and it provides great literacy exposure, which we know is so important for children. So as you can imagine, things have changed since COVID-19. Mm-hmm. We are reaching out in new and different ways. So for parents who are incarcerated, in-person visits have been eliminated. So we've provided phone conversation and letter writing tips to encourage them to maintain their relationship with their children in different ways during this time. Also, we are providing outreach to families who have been involved in our programs prior to COVID-19. We've created mailings that include tips for the caregiver, children's books, family activities, and letter writing templates, so children can write to their parents during this time. That's a summary of what we're doing related to the Literacy Link in Racine County.
So that's a lot of great information. So one thing I will tell the listeners is that when I make the Facebook post for this, I'm going to put the links to all of these programs in the comments so that you can go through and take a look. One of the things that you'll see is a photo of sort of a little reading corner in the jail area, so that families can sit together and read. And there's a little mural on the wall and some books. So that's something important to me. I'm going to do a little reintroduction, and then we'll have a few more follow-up questions. So you are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of UW-Madison Extension's work in Racine County education programs is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So speaking as a listener, I always ask, how are programs funded? So this is through UW Extension. Tell me more about how you fund your programs other than that.
Sure. So our programs are funded primarily through UW-Madison, through our Extension funding, but we're also a partnership with Racine County, and also the U.S. Department of Agriculture, too. So those are our three primary funding sources. PAM's programs, such as like the Literacy Link, is a part of a UW system funding source as well. So they support a portion of PAM's work. But local funding is also a very important means of support for our programs, too. So the United Way of Racine County has been a strong partner over the years in supporting our programs, especially recently with our School Readiness and Family Resiliency Program. They are very important to our programming. SC Johnson Foundation has supported the Juntos program as well in the past, so that's been helpful in making sure that we can provide some family meals, and then also have a co-facilitator too. So their funding's been very helpful. And then this past year, PAM has also received some funding from the First Book Marketplace, and that has been used to provide children's books for the programs.
Thank you. That's so it is just like when we were talking earlier about where these programs take place, how they take place is truly a community effort. There's a lot of different components involved, everything from government to private corporations to individuals to nonprofits. So it's sort of the whole spectrum. I meant to go back and ask Pam a little bit more about the Literacy Links. So just like with the social emotional learning workshops, so what are some of the long-term benefits for children and families for creating these links through literacy to parents who are incarcerated?
Well, first of all, you know, reading a book with your child is just a wonderful bonding, relationship building event. Any parent who's cuddled with a child and read them a book can appreciate that. So we know having that strong parent relationship is important for all children. When a parent is incarcerated, that's very important for that child, for that relationship to continue. Also, that is a benefit in that a parent who has that strong connection with family is less likely to return to jail or prison. Those relationships are important for the parent as well. Beyond that, literacy is a huge indicator in a child's outcome. Their vocabulary at age 2 predicts how well they do on their third grade reading test, which predicts their graduation rate from high school, which predicts life satisfaction and success. So starting that reading at a young age, and even just a lot of interaction and conversation between adults and young children, increase their vocabulary and their literacy skills.
Thank you. So I can imagine, I'm just thinking about a little 2-year-old who has a video on grandma's phone of daddy reading a story. I can imagine that that becomes one of those favorite videos that they play over and over, maybe every night, maybe during the day, maybe in the car when they're heading somewhere else, that it would create sort of this familiarity and bonding with the parent in a way that we weren't really able to do before, right? Without the use of readily available video that you can kind of carry with you. So, you know, it's sort of like watching a Disney movie over and over, except it's better because the star is mom or dad.
Absolutely. And then the child has that same book to follow along as mom or dad is reading that story. Mm-hmm. So that is, you know, strengthening that bond, but also that literacy that comes with it, because that young child is turning pages. They know those words on the page have meaning. So it's really reinforcing that literacy piece that's so important for school success.
Great. So listeners love to hear success stories. So I'm wondering if each of you can share a story of a child or a family who's really benefited from one of these programs.
So Karen, you know, there are so many positives about these programs. It's hard to pick just one thing. You know, parents who attend workshops express that they feel less stressed and more confident in teaching their children to make good choices. Caregivers who receive these books and videos are so grateful to have this gift from their loved one who they can share with the child and see that difference that it makes in the child's life. Parents who are using this recorded book reading program to provide their children with important life lessons, parents talk about the importance of sharing. They talk with their children about all the strong feelings related to the parent being separated. They talk with their children about embracing diversity. So parents are really embracing this program and using it as an opportunity to teach their children even while they're separated from them. Children who are able to visit their parents and experience typical parent-child interactions, such as sitting together on the floor and building a block tower together. children who take their books to bed that they received from their parents. We hear that time and time again. Supporting families in their important work of teaching their children is strengthening families, which is strengthening our community. So this is work is just so important, and I feel so passionate about it.
Great. Those are some really great stories to hear. And you painted a really vivid picture. I'm just kind of watching in my mind's eye the family sitting together in the floor building a block tower. And those little ones carrying their books to bed. That is a huge, that's a thing that I think almost any parent can relate to, this idea that I love this story so much that it's going to be my companion while I'm sleeping. So that, and it's especially so if it helps to bond with the parent. Sarah, do you have any stories to share about the benefits of the work?
You know, I would agree with Pam that, you know, parents just walk away with new skills and they feel like they can maybe enjoy their children, you know, a little bit more, like they understand that maybe what they're experiencing is normal. I think that's a big part of parenting is, you know, kind of understanding that child development and what you're going through is normal. And I think in that regard, that really benefits families. I would also say that, you know, one of the best compliments that we can get in our programs would be just like, okay, what else can I do? What workshop can I take next? So I think families that participate in our program see great value from it.
Well, we're almost at the end of our time. So I want to ask just on behalf of the listeners again, how might members of the community help your work? If there's someone in Racine County who's listening to this, are there volunteer opportunities or funding drives that might make a difference to what you do?
Sure. I would say that members of the community can help us by either participating in our parenting workshops or sharing our workshops with other families. Also, you know, we at Extension are always looking for new ways to reach families in different places. So if you have ideas or opportunities of where we can find some of these new connections, those are always really helpful too. And then finally, if families are interested in learning how they can support early education efforts in Racine County, they could connect with Racine County's Higher Expectations and the Kindergarten Readiness Network. That is one of the groups that we're a part of, and we're working together to make sure that all children enter kindergarten with the skills needed to be successful. Or families could get involved in the United Way of Racine County as well. They support a lot of our local efforts, and I know that they have ways to get involved too.
Great. Well, I'm really grateful to both of you for joining us today and sharing all of these interesting programs with our listeners. I want to thank you both. Sarah Hawks has served as a family and community educator at Extension Racine County since 2011. Thanks, Sarah, for joining us. And Pam Wedig-Kirsch is a school readiness and family resiliency educator at UW-Madison Division of Extension in Racine County. Thanks, Pam. And you are listening to WGTD HD-FM. This is Education Matters. This discussion of UW-Madison Extension's work in Racine County education programs is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. Thank you.
This program originally aired October 10th, 2020.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Rhea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, that's what keeps you coming back. Visit jackandrea.com for more information.
The Kenosha Community Foundation notes Community Foundation Week, November 12th to the 18th, with a courageous conversation on building diversity in local government, a virtual play reading by the Fleeing Artists Theater, and a Wisconsin Prince drive-by exhibit. Visit KenoshaFoundation.org.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Kenosha Public Market's indoor market location is open this season at 620 59th Street from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday. For more information, visit KenoshaPublicMarkets.com.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside, and Jane